as we look at our lesson this morning, as we came in this morning, someone asked me about why there wasn't an outline out there, and we discussed the fact that I was kind of struggling with what I was going to preach today, and doing that, it reminded me of how often I wish that I had the gift the apostles had to have it given to me by the Spirit. But I was reminded of a story of one little girl who was the daughter of a preacher in a denominational church that believed that they were guided by the Holy Spirit as they preached. And one day she came in as her father was getting his sermon ready. And she said, "Daddy, does God tell you what to say when you preach?" And he said, "Yes, He does, sweetheart. He tells me what I'm supposed to say." And she said, "Then how come you keep erasing and crossing out some of the things?" Well, fortunately, I can erase and cross out what I want of my things and change them as I will. But it is always a struggle, knowing that there are so many good things in the counsel of God that need to be taught, and wondering each week which thing would be the best thing this week to help us the most. And sometimes I strike out, and sometimes I hit a foul ball, and sometimes it's a single, and sometimes I get a better base hit, but rarely, if ever, do we get to hit home runs as preachers. We're not the power hitters many times. There are a few out there that are considered power hitters, but often we struggle with just trying to get on base with something that we have to say each Sunday. This morning, I'm hoping that what we study will be helpful to all of us. We want to look at deadly diseases in the body of Christ. We all know that in our physical bodies, and especially today, we've talked about so many who are sick, have this problem or that problem, and difficulties that they're experiencing. We know the physical body is apt to get sick. There are all sorts of viruses and bacteria that are out there, and there are other health problems as well, some of them self-inflicted, that we bring on ourselves physically. But spiritually speaking, there are spiritual diseases that attack the church, Christ's body, just like those physical diseases attack the human body. And so I want us to look at a few of those. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 12 through 21, the church is compared to that body. Paul writes, "Therefore, as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" We've got to realize how interconnected we are as members of Christ's body. Sometimes we think that we're running this Christian race all alone, and it's just me against the devil and me against the world, and I'm all by myself. And we've got to remember that even though we will be judged individually, we're working together as a body in Christ. The church is to be united in its goals and in its function and work together. You know, when you're performing some task, even the simplest of tasks, there are so many parts of your body that work together. Your brain sends the messages to those different parts telling them what to do. And perhaps if you're just reaching out to pick something up, your arm muscles have to move your hand out in the right direction. Your eyes have to look at what it is that you're going to pick up to see if your hand's in the right spot so you're not over here when you need to be over here. And then your fingers have to open up and reach and grab that thing and then clasp onto it. All of those things have to happen in order for that one simple task of just picking something up to take place. And of course, the more complex the task, the more parts of the body there are that are involved in that. I recall when I was in wrestling in high school, I had played football, and I had been tired, and I thought that every muscle I had was aching. Until I went and wrestled and found out that there were muscles in my body that I didn't know I had when I played football. Because when you're wrestling against another person, one-on-one, strength against strength, and every direction you move, there are so many muscles, hundreds of different muscles throughout our bodies, and you tense every one of them at some point, it seems like, in that process. And I found muscles I didn't know I had. Some of us may, as we become stronger in our faith, find that we may be able to be a muscle in the body of Christ. And we may find others being able to be muscles in the body of Christ that we didn't know they had that strength. We didn't know they were there. That they had slipped under the radar for so long and finally are making themselves known. But as the body works together and all those muscles coming together to perform a task, so we've got to come together to perform a task. One of the most important parts of the body is the immune system. That's the one that keeps us from getting sick. And there are several different aspects of that immune system. The skin has a role to play in keeping many of the things out. The nose has a role to play because someone once said that God put the nose over the mouth for a good reason so you could smell things before you ate them. And sometimes that nose warns us, that doesn't smell like it's good anymore. That's spoiled. I don't need to eat that. And the taste buds as well keep some of those poisons out of the body. Of course, in our society today, some have decided that the poisons taste good. Their taste buds are corrupted in some way, and they like those poisonous things that are bad for them. But we know that there are all those things. And then inside our body, there are different aspects of our immune system. We have those white blood cells that fight off disease and the antibodies that are produced to help fight the diseases. And all of those things, our body will raise its temperature to try to kill off those infectious things that got inside. And there are all those things that take place. Well, as Christians, each of us has a role to play in Christ's body and its immune system. We've got to help protect the body of Christ from these diseases. As Christians, we need to help protect the body of Christ from, first of all, cancer. Now, physically, cancer is one of the scariest diseases that's out there. Everybody's afraid of cancer. Some have had cancer and survived it. Others, and almost every family, they've lost somebody to cancer, and it's such a scary thing. Well, cancer, when it comes to the body of Christ, is no less frightening. What is cancer? Cancer, among other things, and I know there are several different varieties, several different kinds, but basically what happens with cancer is that some cells that should have been produced to perform some basic function in the body, instead these cells are useless. And they multiply themselves, and they become a big mass, and they spread all over the body many times. And they get in, and they keep taking the nutrition and the oxygen and all of the things that the body needs to survive and to grow, and the cancerous cells eat that up and suck that up, and they grow and they multiply and they overtake the whole body. And the parts of the body that function wind up being destroyed in the process. They get pushed out. There's not room for the good body parts, the good cells that perform their proper function, because these cancerous cells have taken over. And you know, sometimes in the church that happens. Those who are not functioning as they should come in and they take up all the resources of the church and they push out the good parts of the church, the things that are working right, and they wind up destroying the church from the inside out, just like cancer does. Or some might say, instead of cancer, might say it's kind of like consumption, where the body just kind of turns on itself and starts eating away at itself and fighting against itself. In Galatians 5 and verse 15, Paul warns, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." You know, the amazing thing about this is that this is destruction from the inside. Destruction among ourselves. Among the members that ought to all be functioning and working together, but instead, they're not working together. Instead, some are causing problems that shouldn't be there. James 4:1 says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?" You know, when we have these sinful desires, we want everything to be the way we want it to be. Diotrephes was a good example of this. He didn't want anybody else to be able to do anything without his say-so. And so he ruined the church for a time because he was able. He even kept the apostles out. He wouldn't even let the apostles come to that church. What a destructive force he was. He was a cancer in the midst of that congregation, destroying it from the inside out. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 29 through 30, Jesus gives us an idea of what ought to happen with those cancerous parts. And it's similar to what we do in the physical body when we have a cancerous part. What do we do with that? Well, we try to cut it out. And then we treat with radiation and chemotherapy and all sorts of things that are, oh, they hurt. And they're difficult to go through. But we're trying to kill off that cancerous part, trying to get rid of it. Matthew 5:29-30, Jesus says, "If your right eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it's profitable for you that one of your members should perish and not the whole body be cast into hell. And if your right hand offends you, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish and not your whole body be cast into hell." What about in the church? Has there ever come a time in a congregation where a cancerous part of that church better be cut off, better be removed, so that the whole body doesn't wind up lost? Certainly we understand that with our physical bodies, but there comes a time when we realize that cancerous thing's there. And of course, sometimes people will have just a non-malignant tumor, and they say, "Well, just leave that alone. It's not doing any harm right now." But boy, when they find a malignancy, they want to get that out of there right away. Because if you leave it in there, it'll destroy the whole body. Sometimes in the church, there are things that are like a cancer, and they'll destroy the whole body. They will destroy an entire church if they're not cut out and thrown away. Well, a second disease that is common with the physical body, but is also one that causes problems in the body of Christ, is Alzheimer's. Now, Alzheimer's, of course, is when you just forget. Your mind just, you don't know the things you used to know. And while, you know, they haven't found cures for that in the physical realm, in the spiritual world, a lot of times there's a reason that people are forgetting and not knowing the things they ought to know. It's because they're not keeping themselves studying and learning God's Word. In James chapter 1 and verse 25, James says, "But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, But a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Don't be a forgetful hearer. We'll hear things. We'll hear what the Bible says, and we forget it. It's like we have spiritual amnesia or spiritual Alzheimer's. We just forget that it's in one ear and out the other, and we completely forget. And we certainly don't put into practice then in our lives the things that we heard. But James warns us not to be a forgetful hearer, but instead, when we hear something, take it in and be a doer of the work. When we hear something that we need to do, do it. Don't put it off and don't push it away. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, the church there is warned that they need to remember from whence they are fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove your candlestick out of its place unless you repent. If you're living a life of spiritual Alzheimer's, and you're just forgetting the spiritual things in your life, don't let that continue to go on. Because there will come a time when physically you'll be unable to cope with the spiritual side of life. We've got to get our spiritual house in order before our physical bodies decay to the point that we can't. When I'm sitting in a nursing home, unable to speak my name, it's too late then to get right with God. I better be sure I'm right with Him before I get to that point. If I'm right with Him by the time I get to that point, then everything's okay. But if I'm not right with Him when I get to that point, there's nothing I can do to get right with Him then. So we need to think ahead and realize that now is the time to prepare ourselves. Well, a third disease that attacks the body of Christ is gangrene. And gangrene is a horrible disease. It involves the death and decay of parts of the body by the attack of this disease. And eventually, the amputation of many parts, or the whole body will die. Toes and fingers, sometimes legs, arms have to be cut off and sacrificed in order to keep the rest of the body from suffering the poisons of gangrene. In James chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15, James describes for us the way gangrene infects the spiritual body. He says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." Once we allow that sin, that poisonous thing, to get inside us, it'll bring about our death. And what's worse is that we won't die alone. Our sin will infect others, and it will spread and destroy possibly even the entire church. And there have been some churches where that occurred, where sin was allowed to go unchecked in one person's life, and that spread throughout the whole congregation. It may have been in some doctrinal matter. It may have been in some factual flaw in their thinking about the way to live the Christian life and allowing themselves to do things. These were common things in the first century that they fought against. In the church in Thyatira in Revelation, they're warned about, there's a woman there, she's called Jezebel. I doubt that that was her actual given name, but he likens her back to Ahab's wife Jezebel because she's destructive. She's teaching people to be sexually immoral in the church. Can you imagine that going on? That someone in the church was involving them in some of these immoral sexual activities in the church. And the Lord made it very clear that He was going to come and fight against her. He was going to destroy her, and He was going to destroy all of those who had been infected with her. He called them her children who had learned these behaviors from her. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 through 11 tells us how to deal with these things. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. See, Paul tells the church there how to deal with that. Cut off the gangrene. Get that sinfulness out of there. A little leaven leavens the whole lump if it's allowed to remain and to grow. And then the fourth and final one that we want to look at this morning is AIDS. You know, AIDS is a horrible disease that's killing many people around the world. And of course, we know that in the physical realm, AIDS is most often transmitted sexually, although there is the rare case of blood transfusions and things like that where someone contracts it. But mainly, they bring it on themselves through their own sexual immorality and sinful lifestyle, drug use, intravenous drug use, and so forth. But the Bible warns us that what happens with AIDS is that the body immunity system just completely breaks down. Can't even fight off a cold. Can't do anything to fight off any kind of infection. Just a little small thing that most people would be fine and they'd get over it. But AIDS, then it just destroys that ability to defend the body. Well, spiritually speaking, sometimes we fail in that area. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." He warns us that enemy's out there. Those diseases, those things that are going to attack, the devil is out there. And we've got to be sober. We've got to be vigilant. We've got to be ready for that attack. In Philippians 1, verses 15 through 17, Paul says, "Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." You know, Paul here talks about this fact that, you know, there are always going to be attacks that are going to come. What's worse is when someone is allowed inside to attack. And that's the problem with AIDS, is we don't keep the world outside. When we allow the world, when we allow the devil to get in under our defenses, then they're easy to attack. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, so that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." And we need to beware. When we get out there entangled with the world, our immune system spiritually is down. And that sin will come in and take over our lives. You know, the good thing about all of these things that we've looked at is that as long as we can keep them from the outside, we'll be all right. It's only when we let them in to the body of Christ that they become a problem. It's been said that all the water in the world cannot sink a boat unless it gets inside. And in the same way, all the sin in the world can't sink this ship unless we let it get inside. That's why we have to be vigilant. We have to be ready and watchful in our own individual lives. If I find myself tempted by a sin and falling to that sin, I need to get out of it. I need to get back right with God as quickly as possible. Don't linger there. And if I see a brother or sister caught up in sin, I need to go to them and warn them and help them get out of it. You know, so many times we become offended because someone points out sin in our lives. Instead, we need to be grateful to them. We need to thank them for loving us enough and caring enough about us to warn us of the danger that we're in. I hope that all of us this year and every year in the future will help the church to be protected from these horrible spiritual diseases that can attack it. From the infighting and jealousies within, from the cancer that so often attacks so many congregations, from the sin that can corrupt and destroy, from the lack of knowledge of the Scriptures that allows sin in the first place. So many times people fall into sin because they haven't studied the Scriptures enough to recognize sin when they see it. Oh, we think, well, everybody knows right and wrong. Not anymore. People haven't been taught right and wrong anymore. And sometimes they just flat out don't recognize it. They don't realize they're falling to Satan's temptations. They think they're all right. They think they're doing good. You know, one thing I've found in my personal life, and maybe you've found it to be true too, that when it comes to my physical body, with probably very few exceptions, in fact, I don't know that I can think of one at this point, almost every time that I've ever gotten sick physically, it's been because of one of two things. Either one, I allowed something into my body that was harmful. I can remember eating a steak that was spoiled and the repercussions of that, and I was sick for days. Oh, I let it in though. If I'd have left it on the plate, it never would have hurt me. But the other thing, as far as viruses and things, I found that most of the time when I give in to those illnesses and become sick, as I did just this past Friday, I was in a bad way Friday because of not getting enough rest and not eating the right things and being in good health and helping my body's immune system to be able to fight off those viruses and things. That happens so often. We need to fight against those things that cause harm to the body of Christ. We need to keep them out, and we need to have our strength renewed. And spiritually speaking, we don't do that the same way we do physically. Physically, we do it by eating and sleeping, right? Getting the proper rest and nutrition that makes the body strong to fight off those diseases. But spiritually, well, we need to eat. We need to eat God's Word. We need to feast on His Word. We need to be filled with it and get the proper spiritual nutrition. But then we also need to do some exercise. We need to pray. We need to meditate on God's Word and go to God in prayer and spend time with those things that will strengthen us spiritually. Perhaps you're here today and you find yourself afflicted spiritually with some disease. There's a medicine for that. There's a cure for it. Unfortunately, in the physical world, there are some things that the doctors don't know how to fix. They can't cure it. But in the spiritual realm, God can cure any disease that Satan has created through sin. You know, Satan's constantly got all sorts of sinful things out there that cause disease spiritually, but God has the cure for every one of them. They're in His Word. But you're going to have to make up your mind that you're willing to take your medicine. You're going to have to start by repenting of those things that are in your life that don't need to be. Being willing to confess Jesus as the Christ and be baptized to wash those sins away if you've not done that. Perhaps you have done that. Perhaps you are a Christian, but maybe you've allowed sin to get back inside. Prayer and repentance and confession of those sins to God can get them back out of your life. It won't be easy. You know, treatment for diseases can be harsh. It can be difficult. It can be unpleasant. But it's worth it to get rid of the disease. Are you ready to get the disease of sin, selfishness, the corruption of Satan out of your life? Why not do it today as we stand and as we sing?